the Bible and claiming your victory. And one thing we notice in life is the realities of war. Even since the war that was supposed to end all wars, our generation, the generation previous, that's all we've known is wars at some point or another throughout this world. History has many stories of nations at war, of nation against nation, even during the civil wars, here in this country, in the States, in other countries, of family against family, and brother against brother. And that is a reality of life, is war. But guess what? The reality of a Christian life is also war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are soldiers of the Lord. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. One of the realities of the Christian life is we will and we do face battles on a daily basis. And in 2 Samuel 23, we are introduced to David's mighty men. And David is coming to the end of his life here as he recounts this story of these men. And in 2 Samuel 23, I'd like to concentrate on a man by the name of Eliezer. And I want us to see what it takes on our part to claim a victory, even when we are outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, and outplanned. We can still have the victory. What does it take to have the victory when we are outnumbered? 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8 says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, to be gathered around your word. And Father, we recognize that it feels at times as a child of God that we are outnumbered. We seem to be in the minority when it comes to the belief system of the world in which we live. Oftentimes, we are in the minority when it comes to being a voice in our workplace. Sometimes, we are in the minority when it comes to being the voice of morality in the community. And Father, we pray that you would help us to understand tonight that there is victory even when we feel outnumbered. There is victory even when we feel like we are outgunned, that we are insufficient to the task. Father, I'm thankful that victory is not because of who we are. It's because of who we serve. And Father, I prayed you'd help us to realize tonight that we have at our disposal weapons which the devil simply cannot begin to comprehend. We have weapons available to us that will enable us to claim each and every victory we face, claim a victory to each and every battle that we face in this life. And Father, I just prayed you'd help us to realize tonight that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Help us to be like Eliezer. Help us to not be so easy to give up the battle that we will fight and grip hold of the sword so much that we simply cannot let it go. So Father, we prayed you'd help us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The first thing, I just want to look at a few simple thoughts this evening. The first thing I want us to see is Eleazar's arena. I want us to see where this battle took place. Now, we're not told here in 2 Samuel, but we are told in another account in Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. So if you turn over quite a few pages to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and we'll see where this particular battle took place. And in 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 12, it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamim. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines." So the Bible tells us that David and his men were gathered together against the Philistines at a place called Pasdamim. The definition of this is the dell of bloodshed. Past Damim is believed to be in the same general area where David defeated Goliath. This place seems to have been a recurring place of battle for Israel. We remember what took place in the valley of Elah, where the armies of the Philistines were gathered on the one side of the valley, and the army of the Israelites were gathered on the other side of the valley, and Goliath came and challenged the armies of Israel for 40 days to send out a champion. David was the one who took action in the strength of the Lord and defeated Goliath with a stone from the slingshot. And here is the lesson for us. Oftentimes we seem to go back to the same battlegrounds. Oftentimes in life we seem to go back to the same battlefields. It feels like we're fighting the same battle over and over and over and over and over again. This place was a familiar place of battle to the Israelites. They were aware of what had taken place in this area in the past. And in many times in the Christian life, the enemy takes us back to those familiar places of battle. Maybe it is back to a past defeat. Maybe the devil takes us back to a battleground where we lost the battle that particular time. And he keeps taking us back there. Maybe the enemy takes us to a place of temptation, to a particular temptation that has caused us defeat time and time and time again. And there are many times the devil takes us back to the battleground of doubt and to the battleground of fear and to the battleground to a lack of faith. And maybe in times past we've lost those battles. You know, the devil knows what our weakness is. He's the accuser of the brethren. He knows what our weakness is. And maybe at some point in our lives we've lost a particular battle and the devil will just take us right back to the same battlefield and go, ha, 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 there we go again. But guess what? We can go back to the Valley of Elah. No matter what battlefield the devil takes to, we can go back to the Valley of Elah and we can tell him that he's a defeated foe. It didn't matter how big Goliath was, because Goliath was nothing compared to how big David's God was. So every time the devil takes us back to the battleground where we were defeated in times past, we can take him back, not to the Valley of Elah in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. We can take him to Mount Calvary and tell him that it's not us that's a defeated foe. He's the one that is a defeated foe because of what took place upon Calvary. Every time the devil takes us back to that old battleground, we need to take him back to his battleground and remind him that his head is the one that will be crushed, not ours. When Satan tries to steal your joy, when he tries to bring you to the place of telling you that your old sins will continue to defeat him, just take him back to Calvary. Tell him that our sins have been dealt with upon the cross. Tell him that our sins have been forgiven because of the cross. Tell him that our sins are washed as white as snow because of the blood that was shed upon the cross. He can take us back to the same old battlefields where we were defeated before, but guess what? We can take him to the place where he was defeated by the shed blood of Christ. We can take him back to the empty tomb and tell him, there's no victory in the grave. There's no sting in death because of that empty tomb, because of what Christ has done for us. You can take us back to the old battlefield as much as you want. You can take us back and remind us of our past failures. You can take us back and remind us of our past sins. You can take us back and remind us of all the times that we've let the Lord down. But I tell you what, I'll just take you back to the place where the Lord won the greatest victory ever fought on this planet. Eliezer's arena was a familiar battleground. Maybe you are facing the same battle again tonight. Maybe it is a battle that you have faced continually since you've been a child of God. Just remind Satan that he is a defeated foe. And it doesn't matter how many times he takes you back to that battleground. Christ has won the victory. We see Eliezer's attitude. If you look at back, let's go back to 2 Samuel 23 and look at verse 9. It says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is run. You hear that expression that as humans we have two instincts, fight or flight. I'm not ashamed to say I'm on the flight side of things. Right? Not a big fan of confrontation. I love rugby, but I was never really that good at playing. That's why I wanted to go on the wing. Because I didn't like all that nonsense that went on in the middle of the pitch. I was okay because I was quicker. I would just give me the ball and I just run. Nothing to do with being a good rugby player. It just had to be the fact I didn't want to get tackled. I'm a flight type of person. And sometimes in our Christian battles, we want to be a flight type of person. It's easier to run and hide. It's easier to have the ostrich mentality as a believer and bury our head in the sand and just think everything will soon pass. Everything will just go away. And Eleazar could have run. Eleazar could have gone with the crowd. He could have run with everybody else. He could have gone with the flow. He could have been a part of the majority. The majority of people ran away. But his attitude was different. And oftentimes, our victory is dependent upon our attitude. Are we willing to take a stand and fight? Not because of our strength. There's no strength in us at all. But the old nature kicks in sometimes. We try and fix things ourselves, or we try and run away from things. Eleazar didn't want to be one of the crowd. He knew what his limitations were, but here's the thing. He knew who he served. He didn't make what other people would do in his yardstick. That wasn't his litmus test. His service for the Lord, his stand in the battle, wasn't dependent upon what everybody else was doing. As a child of God, the battlefield can feel like a lonely place. Sometimes we are facing something that maybe nobody else in the church has gone through. Sometimes we are facing something that nobody else understands, and it just feels so lonely. We feel like we are all on our own. And it's easy to become afraid. It's easy to look at our weakness and say, I can't do this. It's easy to look at us and say, I haven't got the strength for this. I don't have the power for this. I don't have the stamina for this. I'm not strong enough for this. I'm not brave enough for this. I'm not fit enough for this. I can't do it. Brilliant. If you come to that realization in the battle, then that's exactly where God needs you to be. Because you're not strong enough for the battle. You're not brave enough for the battle. You're not fit enough for the battle. You're not even worthy enough for the battle. But he is. It's not about us facing the battle in our own strength. It's not about us fighting in our own strength. The victory is not based on our strength. The victory is ours in spite of our weakness. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Eleazar didn't waste time in complaining. He didn't turn around and say, oh, great, thanks for that, boys. Appreciate that. Just when I needed you the most, you've all cleared off. I can't believe you've done that. He didn't waste time shouting at them and trying to coax them to get back into the battle. He didn't waste time complaining about them and bad-mouthing them. Eleazar got on with what he was called to do. Stand and fight. You know, sometimes we waste so much energy complaining about our particular battle. Stressing about our particular battle, trying to blame everybody else for the reason that we're in this predicament in the first place. What we need to be doing is taking all of that energy that we are using to focus on other people and turn it towards focusing upon him. Can you imagine if we used as much energy complaining about everybody else and complaining about the situation? What if we put all of that energy into praying about that particular situation? Can you imagine if we put that much energy into praying to the Lord as we do about... Listen, I'm not saying that you're all moaners and complainers and gripers and grumblers. I'm just speaking from personal experience, not personal experience about you griping and complaining and moaning. But what I'm like sometimes... Like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. Why is this happening now? Why is this going on now? I'm stressed about this and I'm stressed about that. And why is that? What if we just put that amount of effort and energy into getting onto our knees and praying? We need to get to the realization that, Lord, I can't do this in my strength. I can't. And once we get to that point, it's as if the Lord then turns around and says, good, now I can show you what my strength is like. Eliezer didn't waste time in complaining and being on his own and criticizing others for running away or shouting at them or coaxing at them. He faced the enemy and he fought the fight. But not only do we see Eliezer's arena and his attitude, we see the arsenal at his disposal. In verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. You know, Joe and I went to, we were in Washington, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, the first time I went to speak to in Pastor Mark's church in New London. And after that, we called in Washington, D.C. on our way down to a missions conference. And we went to the Smithsonian. I'm fascinated with aircraft, and I just love all of that type of stuff. And when you look at some of the aircraft that was in this museum, some of the weapons that were on these aircraft, and you look at some of the weapons that are available today. You know, I told you before, I love watching some of the old documentaries and, you know, looking at World War II and what went on. And you look at the advances made from World War I to World War II, just in flight alone. And you think of the weapons that, you know, that are available today and the damage that they do and, you know, how devastating they are, whether it's, you know, rockets or guns or airplanes or tanks or battleships or whatever it is. Eliezer had one weapon. That was it. Just a sword. I mean, he was a bit better off than Shamgar. Shamgar just had an ox goad. But at least Eliezer had a sword. And you might think, well, what is that in the great scheme of things? Just one sword. As Christians, we have the greatest weapon at our disposal. And we do have air support as well. Because Paul told us in Ephesians, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have air support. Prayer is an incredible weapon. You know, Eliezer just had a sword. All we have is a sword. But I can promise you this, it's a pretty good weapon. You look at all of that armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. All defensive weapons. And then he says, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The sword is not just a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. Not only are we able to defend ourselves from the nonsense that the devil throws at us by going back to the word. Listen, if there's something confusing in the world today that you don't understand, go back to the word. If there's a decision you make and you don't know what to do, go back to the word. If somebody's challenging you and you don't know what's right and wrong, go back to the word. It's an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. There are times when we need to go on the attack. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? The exact same way that the Lord Jesus Christ resisted him. On those three occasions that the Lord was tempted, the three times the Lord said, it is written. Eliezer had one weapon, just a simple sword. We have an incredible weapon at our disposal to help us fight these battles. Now, your battle might be different to the battle, the battle of the person sat next to you. Your battle might be different to the battle of the person sat 2 meters away from you. None of us face exactly the same battles. They may be similar sometimes, but we all have the same weapon to not only defend ourselves in the battle, but also to go on the offensive in the battle. And that's the word of God. But unfortunately, the word of God is our greatest weapon, and yet it's probably the rustiest of our weapons. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Any of you ever watched, I'm trying to think what they're called, when somebody goes into the army and they boot camp, something like that, and they've got to do so much training first before they can go on to the next stage. And one of the things they've got to do is they've got to learn how to look after their weapon. And they train to dismantle it and to put it back together. And in the end, they can do it blindfolded. Why? Because that weapon, at some stage of their career, is going to save their life. So they need to know the ins and outs of it. They need to know how to take it down, how to clean it, how to put it back together. They just need to know everything about it, even blindfolded. You know, the unfortunate thing today is a lot of Christians haven't got a clue how their weapon works. A lot of Christians haven't got a clue what their weapon looks like. A lot of Christians haven't got a clue how to handle their weapon. How does a soldier get to know his weapon? He is told from the very beginning, it's not to leave their side. They look after it. They guard it with their life. They make sure it's clean. They make sure it's inspected. They make sure it's handled every single day. We need to be familiar with our weapon. It needs to be by our side. Not only does it need to be by our side, it needs to be in our minds. It needs to be in our hearts. If we have any hope whatsoever of fighting these battles, if we have any hope whatsoever of winning these battles, if there's to be any victory at all, we need to recognize the importance of the arsenal that we have at our disposal. We need to recognize the importance of our weapon. We need to know how it functions. We need to know what it looks like. We need to know where to find it. Our weapon is important. Pastor Ed always used to say, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. We need to recognize the importance of our weapon if there is to be any hope whatsoever of being victorious in the battles that we face. And then we see Eliezer's ache. It says in verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, until his hand clave unto the sword. Sometimes we are so weary in battle, we feel like we simply can't go on. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been on a long walk and you've taken a bit of a longer walk than you first thought? And it comes to a point where you've passed that point of no return. You've kind of gone past the halfway point, and you know, whatever happens now, if I turn around and go back now, it's going to be a lot longer than the loop I'm on. And you just realize that you've probably bitten off a bit more than you can chew. You're like, oh my days, that last bit of distance is horrendous. And there comes a point where you feel like I just can't go on anymore. I just want to sit down. I just want somebody to pick it up. Jamie and Carl and I did a bike ride. I don't know where we got this idea from and who came up with it. I think it was Jamie's idea. It was daft. We were going to cycle from Holyhead to Cardiff along it was the Taff Trail. It's Route 8 all the way up through from Cardiff right the way up to Holyhead. We got up to Holyhead and Carl forgot the map. It took us 8 hours to get off Anglesey because we got lost. See how small Anglesey is? It took us 8 hours just to get off Anglesey. We came down towards Llanidloes, which I think was the second camp that we were staying in, and we came up the biggest mountain road that you'd ever seen in your life. And I remember, we got to the top, and we came down this mountain, and we said, oh, brilliant, we're downhill now. And then we went up another mountain. How is that possible? How is it possible to go up further than you go down? That doesn't make any sense. And I just kept saying to the boys, because my mum and dad and Joe's dad had gone in the minibus ahead of us, bless them, and they were setting up a camp for us, and Topher was cooking the food for us. And I just said to the boys, I'm going to call my dad to come and get me in the minibus. That's all I kept saying. I want my dad to get me in the minibus. Oh, boys, nobody will notice. I know we got sponsorship to do this ride, but nobody will notice. We won't tell anybody. Let's just get him to pick us up in the minibus. And they wouldn't let me. Sometimes we feel like that in the battle. We just feel weary. We just feel like, I just physically can't go on. I just need somebody to come alongside me. I need somebody spiritually to pick me up in the minibus. I can't go on. I can't do this anymore. There are times when we're in the battle where we feel like we've just lost our strength. But we need to be reminded that we can do all things through Christ, because he's the one that strengthens us. We need to remember that we don't need to fear. Fear thou not, for the Lord is with us. Be not dismayed, for he is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. He's our strength. There comes a point where we feel like we simply can't go on. We can't battle anymore. We can't face the enemy anymore. We just don't have the strength to keep going. Eliezer didn't give up. He was weary, but he kept going. You know, too many Christians get to the point in the battle where they're weary and then they just give in. I don't want to fight this battle anymore. I don't care if I win or lose. I don't care anymore. I just give up and I give out and give in. But even though Eliezer was weary, he didn't give up. He was tired because there was no one helping him. He was on his own. He was tired because everybody else had legged it and he was battling alone. How incredible that the Lord didn't allow his weariness to overcome him until the Philistines had been defeated. God promises us his strength. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. How amazing it is that the Lord makes our strength equal to the task if we are walking in his will. The Lord won't let our weakness allow itself to endanger the victory. If we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, he gives us the strength we need for the battles we face. Eliezer's hand clave to his sword. Some suggest that maybe it was congealed with blood of the enemies and therefore it stuck to his hand. Or is it the fact that he was holding it so tightly that he simply could not let go? How many of you ever had cramp? Ever had that? What a blessing that is. I think that's just one of the Lord's, like that's the Lord's sense of humor when he designed this. I'm going to give him as part of the fall something called cramp. That'll keep things interesting. One of the worst ones is when you get cramp in the calf. What's all that about? And all of a sudden you jump up and it can be frightening to other people because you suddenly jump and you're, oh! And you're trying to walk the cramp off. You ever had it in your hand? Maybe you've gripped something awkwardly or somebody's handed you something the wrong way. They always hand you the wrong way. When you're handed the right way. And then your hand just cramps up. Or maybe you've been doing something for a prolonged period of time. whether it's using a screwdriver, whether it's ironing, whether it's playing tennis, whether it's using a hammer, whatever it is, if you've gripped something and you've been holding it so tight you can't let go. Do you ever do that experiment when you were kids where you get somebody to hold two pencils together and you say, hold those pencils together really tightly. And then you pretend to wind cotton around the pencils and then you say, pull them apart really slowly. You can't move them. It's mental how that works, but you can't do it. You're all going to be trying that at home now. Grab two pencils. Come and see me after, socially distance, and I'll show you how it works. But sometimes if we've held something for a long time, it's just like an impossibility to move it. Eliezer has cleaved, his hand has cleaved to his sword. He's held it so tightly for so long in the battle that it is impossible for him to let it go. The person with faith will fight and lay hold of the truth and will grip it as tight as possible. And can I say this? When we face the battle, when we face those times of loneliness, when we face those times of uncertainty, we need to grip hold of this word so tightly that we don't ever let it go, because this is what will get us through those times of trials. This is what will get us through those times of pain. That's what gets us through those times of loneliness. That's what gets us through the victory. The unfortunate thing is that we are holding on to so many other things. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians today, their hands have claved to sin rather than claving to the sword of the Spirit. And they won't let go of that sin. Yeah, it's like that minister was explaining how the certain tribe somewhere would catch a monkey. They would hollow out a coconut and they would put some treats in the coconut. And what the monkey would do is he would go in and he would grab the treats, but he couldn't get his hand out of the coconut. But he would not let them go in order to get his hand out. His hand would get trapped. They would come along and they'd catch the monkey. Sometimes we are just holding on to sin and we won't let it go. Wouldn't it be great if our hand would cleave to the word of God as tightly as some people's hands cleave to the sin that they're refusing to let go? Eliezer's hand clave to his sword. And he just said, I'm not going to let it go. Wouldn't it be great if we could let go of the sin that entraps us and just simply grab hold of the Lord? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Eliezer would not let go of his weapon. In fact, he'd held it for so long, he could not let go of his weapon. Would we be the type of Christian who loves the Lord so much and loves his word so much that we wouldn't cease from catching hold of his word and refusing to let it go? We see Eliezer's arena. We see Eliezer's attitude. We see his arsenal. We see his ache. But here is the thing. We see the Lord's accomplishment. Look at verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Doesn't say that Eliezer wrought a great victory, even though he's the one on the battlefield, even though he's the one whose hand has clave to his sword, even though he's the one standing the ground. It's the Lord that wrought the victory. The victory was not won without Eliezer. It was not won by him, but with him. It was won by the Lord through him. Eliezer had probably spent many hours training himself with the sword, and when his strength was gone, there was no one there to fight with him, but he clung on to that sword through the battle. But it was God's power that enabled him to keep going. It was God's strength that enabled him to get through to the victory. It was God's power that enabled Eliezer to keep fighting when all of his strength had simply gone. There are times when we feel like we just simply can't go on. Lord, I can't fight this battle anymore. We're just not getting anywhere. The victory seems out of sight. We feel we are so weary. But we're holding so tightly to the word of God. Can I say to you, child of God, don't give up. Because it's in those instances when the Lord will step in and roar a great victory for us. We can't do it in our strength. It's impossible to do it in our strength. Do you know what the word Eliezer means? God is my helper. That's what Eliezer means. God is my helper. Maybe we're fighting the same battle over and over again because we're still trying to do it in our strength. Maybe the devil keeps taking us back to the same old battlegrounds because he knows what trips us up. He knows what causes us to suffer defeat. He knows what our weakness is. But we're not relying upon the Lord as our helper. Maybe we're holding on to the wrong thing instead of the sword of the Spirit. Maybe when we get weary in the battle, it's easier to let go than it is to hold on and keep going. What battles are you facing today? What weapons are you using whilst facing those battles? John said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith cometh by hearing in. And hearing by the word of God. If you want to win the victory in the battle that you face, cleave to the word. Hold on to the sword. Thou art my victory. I prayed for help. I prayed for strength. I prayed for victory. I prayed for patience and for love, for true humility. But as I prayed, my dying Christ, by faith I seemed to see. And as I gazed, my glad heart cried, all things are mine through thee. If he doth dwell within my heart, why need I strength implore? The giver of all grace is mine, and shall I ask for more? And need I pray for victory when he who conquered death dwells in my very inmost soul, nearer indeed than breath? Oh, help me, Lord, to realize that thou art all in all, that I am more than conqueror in great things and in small. No need have I, but thou wast met upon the cruel tree. O precious, dying, risen Lord, thou art my victory. The first step to victory for some is coming to Christ by faith for salvation. That is the first step for victory, believing that he died upon the cross, trusting in his shed blood as the only means of the forgiveness of sins. Some need to confess that tonight. There are some listening to this message that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. That's the first step to victory that they need to take. And maybe you were here tonight and there's a particular battle that you were facing. And I don't know what it is. Maybe you feel outnumbered. Maybe you feel outmanned. Maybe you feel outgunned. Maybe you feel outplanned. Maybe you feel like you are out of your depth and you don't know what to do or where to turn or how to get through this. Eliezer was on his own. But he was never on his own. My God is my helper. Even though he was weary, even though there were times I'm sure he felt like giving up, his hand clave to his sword. Don't let go of the word. Read it. Meditate upon it. Apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Some simply need to stop fighting on your own. And let the Lord provide us with the strength that we need. May we say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Don't give up, because the victory isn't ours, it's the Lord. The victory is not ours because of who we are, but because of who we serve. The victory is not based upon our strength, it's based upon his strength. The victory for every battle that we face no matter how outnumbered we may feel, is available to us because of who our Savior is. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, I just pray that if there's somebody here this evening, maybe there's somebody here in the church that is facing a battle that they simply can't cope with. Maybe there's somebody listening to this message online that feels that they are completely and utterly out of their depth because of what's in front of them. Father, I pray you'd help us to realize that even when we're on our own in the battle, we're never in the minority in that regards because of who is on our side. I'm thankful that when the captain of the Lord of hosts didn't show up to take sides in regards to Joshua's battle, he came to take over. Father, I just pray that you would help us tonight not to run from our battles, not to hide from our battles, not to wish that our battles would simply go away, but for us to trust you in the battles, that we might see your strength made perfect in our weakness. Father, would you help whoever it is here tonight, whether in the church or listening to this message online, that needs the victory in the battle that they face right now. May you speak to their hearts tonight. Give them the help, strength, comfort, and encouragement that they need to just keep going, even when they feel weary, holding on to that sword, never to let it go. But I'm thankful that even though we may lose our grip, you will never lose your grip of us. So, Father, would you help us tonight? Help us to claim that victory, for it's in Christ's name we pray and give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll sing our last hymn. Brilliant. All right, and I think Eve and Joe coming up to sing as well. Okay.
Me with his redeeming blood.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. We thank you for the fact that the victory is already ours, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that whatever battle is being faced this evening, that you would enable each and everyone to recognize the victory that is available to us. We recognize that the circumstance of the battle doesn't change. Maybe it's our attitude within the battle that has to change. Maybe it's our recognition of the importance of the weapon we have in the battle that needs to change. Maybe it's the recognition of who is on our side in the battle that needs to change. And Father, we're just thankful that the victory is indeed ours. So would you help those that are struggling tonight? We recognize that there are many battles being faced in the world today by your children. But we just trust you for the outcome of each and every one. And we pray that we might be victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.